I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever been called for jury duty. Yeah, I hear it too. I just heard that. You know, and they called me for jury duty one time, and they said, you have to call in, see if you're still needed. And I think that's to keep you captive until they're done with you. So they pick me up and along with a lot of other people, and they pick us up and they take us over to the courthouse, and they lead us into the courthouse, and they lead us into a room there, a waiting type room, and I come to find out it's not just one case, but there's multiple cases that they're choosing juries for. So if you don't make it in one, you get another chance, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but you get another chance, right? So you'd go and you would just up and hear and they question, and all right, we don't like Ed too much here. He's a little this or a little that, or not enough of this or not enough of that. So you get to be sent back down to the waiting room. Well, it was going on for like all day and back and forth, and I found myself trying to do what I needed to do and to make some notes, to do some study there while I'm waiting. But then I found myself just kind of distracted. And all of a sudden, I turn my paper into swans. And it's the origami. You know what origami is? It's this Chinese, right? And I can't make the one, the white one, but I can make the colored one there. I can make that. And I begin to make swans. I had all kinds of paper I had in my notebook, and I would fold a swan, and I would sit it up there. And I would fold another swan, and I would sit it up on my notebook, and I'd fold another swan, and if you fold them right, and you just grab a hold of their feet, you can make them fly. And they'd flap their wings, and so I was entertaining myself with flapping the wings, and all of a sudden, there's a guy sitting next to me, and he just says this, "I wish I knew origami." You know, now, I can't make anything other than a swan. You know, I once in a while I can, and I don't know if I can really remember how to do that. So origami is this art of folding paper, right? And to make designs, very intricate stuff, as you can see on the screen. Very intricate stuff and very simplistic things that you can make out of folding paper, certain ways and doing certain things. Do you ever remember these as a kid? Do you ever remember the origami finger games that you can, remember those things? Yeah, you remember those, don't you? And this is a giant one. I understand that, but I wanted everybody to be able to see it. And so you would take these items and you would write a number or something around the outside fins, right? And then you would say 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever. Then you'd have to pick something that was written on the inside, right? And then you would say, you know, you'd spell it out, G-R-E-E-N or something. And then you would come up and then you had to open it up to see what the answer was. You had to unfold it to see what the answer was and written on it. And these are can be very helpful in just fun things to do. Brindley had one the other day that I ended up doing 10 jumping jacks. I didn't really want to do those, but that's what it was. So you never really know what you're going to end up with, right? But as I studied this origami finger game is what it's called, as I studied that out, and many people would use it as homework. They would help their children learn the math assignment or learn the math equation, and they would write them on here, or they would, different capitals or different things, they would write information on here, and then they would go through the process, and then the answer, and then they could see if they had the answer or the additional parts of the answer as they unfolded it and read what was underneath the tab. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's saying, I want you to live an unfolded life. I want you to get down in, not just the surface things, not just the stuff that's written on the flaps, and not just the stuff at the second level. I want you to unfold it. I want you to have an unfolded thinking. I want you to know deeply what God, I want you to, there's so much more that you could know. And he said, this is what I desire for your life. It's God speaking through Peter saying, I want you to have as dear friends. This is now my second letter to you. That's why we call it 2 Peter. I have written both of them to remind, as reminders to stimulate you to cause an action in your life, to do something that causes an action. Not just a memory going through your brain, but something that causes an action, the stimulation. One time there was a cow who had a calf out in the field and had been out there for a few days, and I was able to wrestle the calf to the ground. But you can wrestle the calf to the ground, which can be a feat of a 100-pound calf, especially if he's a couple days old. Okay? So you wrestle the calf to the ground. The calf is no issue. Okay? The calf goes down fairly easy. You can get him to the ground. But you can't keep him from making noises. When he makes noises, 1,200-pound mama comes. Okay? I was introduced to 1,200-pound mama at the request of her son. All right, so the son said, "Mama, help." The mama was stimulated to action. And the action was all directed at me. You can handle that calf. You can't handle a 1,200-pound cow. That cow was stimulated. Peter said, "That's what I want to do in your life. I want that to happen in your life. I want you to hear something that stimulates you to action, that causes an action in your life. That's what I want. To stimulate you to wholesome thinking," he says. To stimulate you to wholesome thinking. And I love it because the Greek, you may know this, you may not know this, there's like 8,000 Greek words in biblical text. There's 400,000 English words. Okay, so there's 50 English words to every one Greek word. So sometimes if we understand, we can understand a Greek word, we can understand the different words that can help describe what that Greek word is trying to help us understand. Wholesome is where the translators come down. Wholesome, but wholesome means this. The Greek word translated wholesome means pure. I would understand it means pure. I want you to have pure thoughts. I want you to stimulate your thinking to purity. I want you to have pure thoughts. And he said, "I want you," it's also sincere. It can be translated into the word sincere. "I want you to have honest and without hypocrisy thinking." Honest thinking. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with those around you. You need honest thinking. You need to get into your head. Just be honest in your brain. Will you just be honest in your thinking, he said. I want to stimulate you to honest thinking, to pure thinking. But it also can mean unfolded thinking. I think my thinking can be pure, and I think my thinking can be honest, and sometimes I don't think my thinking is unfolded, because I think I'm okay with the flap, and I'm okay with the inside, but when it comes to opening it up and see what's deeper, I don't think I got that yet. He said, "I want you to have unfolded thinking. I want you to have pure thinking. I know you know some things. I want you to be diligent to those things as well. But I want you to continue. I want your thinking to continue to grow. I want to unpack more things for you. It's not just the numbers on the top or just the colors underneath. There's a message underneath the flap for you. And I want to stimulate you," he said, "to that flap reading." Am I making sense today? Said, "You're remaining faithful. I got you. I'm not asking for that. You got it. You got some pure thinking going on. You got some honest and without hypocrisy thinking. I want you to have some unfolded thinking. I want you to know what's under the flap. Is it okay if God reveals what's under the flap? Because he's got a message for you. I've written you. He's directed me to write a letter to you before. And now he's directed me to write a second letter to you. Because he wants your thinking to be pure and honest and unfolded. He wants you to know what's under the flap." What value would this game have? We can argue its value anyway, I guess. But if you never opened the flap. Oh, want to play a fun game? Pick one. One. Now pick a color. All right, red. R-E-D. Game over. See, okay, we can have a complete discussion on the value of this game. And we're not going to do that right now. But if I'm going to play this game, I want to know more than one in red. I want to know what's under the flap. Yeah, sometimes it's 10 jumping jacks. But God says, I want to unfold it to you. I want you to know what's under the flap. And so Peter says, I'm writing this so your thinking can be deeper. So your thinking can be pure. So your thinking can be honest and sincere without hypocrisy and unfolded. So he continues in the passage with that thought in mind. He says, listen how I'm going to do it, he said, verse 2. Oh, I want to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets. So I want to take you to some of the passages of Scripture in the scrolls, I think is what he's saying. Some of the stuff that's written on the flap is some of the stuff that Isaiah wrote. And I want you to know it. I know it was written 2,500 years ago. But I don't know if it's written on me yet. It's under the flap that God wants me to read. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's read by you yet or appreciated or altered your thinking. See, that's a big thing. God just doesn't want us to read the Scripture. He wants us to alter our thinking with it. But so often I think we're okay with one and red. So they got more than that. And what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do that, Peter says, I'm going to take you back to the prophets. That's some good stuff. Let me get the scroll out. Let me start reading through the scroll. Did you know that Isaiah said this? Woo! Do you know what he said? Is that altering your thinking? Or is that still under your flap? He said, so I'm going to do that by recalling the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given to by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. You know what he's saying there? I'm going to take you to the Word of God. I want you to know what's written under the flap. One in red. That there's more. There's more, and if you're going to have pure thinking, wholesome thinking, if you're going to have honest thinking, if you're going to have unfolded thinking, you're going to need to know that God, it's written this under your flap. Certain things are written under your flap, and he wants you to unfold them so that you can understand them better. And you can wrestle with them, and you can strive to understand them, and let them alter your thinking. Because really what I want to do is stimulate you. What I really want to do is cause you to have an action in your life. And I'm not sure that there's a dumber animal than a cow. I'm just saying that. And if she can be stirred to action by one cry of one calf, I think you and I can be stirred to action from the Word of God. And just to finish that story, if my mom hadn't been there and beat that cow off with a stick, I don't know if I'd be here today. Because my mom was stimulated to action by the cries of her son. And my mom wasn't very big. But when it was coming to one of her kids, that 1,200-pound cow didn't seem like too formidable of an opponent to her. Just so you know, the calf went to the barn, I was unscathed, and the cow ended up in the stanchion. And my mom's hand was still frozen to the stick that she beat that cow off me with. And he said, I want to do that. I want to stimulate you. But you got to unfold the truth that you don't know yet. And I want you to unfold it. And I want to take you back to the prophets. And I'm going to take you to the commands of Jesus that have come through the apostles. I want to take you to the Word of God. Look what he says in verse 3. I find it interesting. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. Just so you know, not everybody's going to care what's written under your flap. As a matter of fact, they're going to think you're nuts. My desire is to understand God's word, understand God, and walk with him all with my energy. Well, if that's okay for you, but don't try to push it on me type of deal. He said, you got to know that not everybody's going to be supportive of this. There's going to be scoffers out there. And they're going to be scoffing. And look what he says in verse 4. They will say, where is the coming he promised? See, that's a great way to get somebody off their rocker. Tell them Jesus abandoned them. That's the first thing they're going to start with, he says. They're going to start with, Jesus isn't coming. He hasn't come. Look at what he says. They will say, and he said, where is the coming Jesus promised? That he said he would come back. He said when he went up and he ascended to heaven that he would come back. He says in the law of the prophets, in the law of the prophets, he said he would come back. He's not coming back. Will you just shut up about that Jesus stuff? He's abandoned you. He doesn't care about you. If the world doesn't do that to us, the enemy will do that to us. Because if he can get in our brains and in our thinking that Jesus has abandoned you, then you aren't going to get one flip for what Jesus thinks about you now. Even ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. There's no change. He's not coming. He doesn't care. He says, scoffers will say that. Scoffers will endeavor to get you off your spiritual journey. Scoffers will do that. Scoffers will get you to walk the same path that they're walking without this hope of Jesus in their life. But I wonder what Peter said to that when he could remind himself that he was there when Jesus said this. What did Jesus say? And John, put the button, please. The people in the Tracy running the computer saying, Dad, you're not there yet. You skipped the page. And just to be honest, while I was thinking about Jesus coming back, I thought about this song. And the scoffers are saying, there's no trumpet going to blow. The scoffers are saying, there's no morning that's going to break eternal bright and fair. There is no time to call you to the other shore. There is no roll going to be called upon yonder. There's not going to be any of that. So Peter says, I know you're thinking that. I know that you got that. I know that the world is trying to push that in on you. Jesus does not care. He's not coming back for you. Give it up. But my wonder, Peter said, now wait a minute. I want to spark your thinking to holy thinking, to wholesome thinking, to unfolded thinking. Wait a minute. I'm going to take you to the prophets. I'm going to take you to what Jesus said through the apostles. Hang on. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe Jesus? And he says this. Bring it up to John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Peter was there. What Jesus was saying this. He said, let me remind you what Jesus said. I know what the scoffers are saying. I know what they're saying. That there's going to be no return of Jesus. I was there when Jesus said it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me. And you will be with me always, he said. Unfold that in your life, he said. Unfold that. Unpack that in your life. Will you let that get into your thinking that he has not abandoned you? It's under the flap. It's under the flap. He wants you to open the flap. It's under the flap. Don't be satisfied just with the number or just with the initial title. Go deeper, he said. Go deeper. The scoffers are trying to mess you up. Don't let them mess you up. Listen to what Jesus said. Get in. Let Jesus get in there. Let Jesus alter your thinking. Let Jesus give you an unfolded thinking. And to start with, he's not going to leave you. He's coming back.
And when he comes back, he's going to take you where he's at. It's under the flap. He has not abandoned you now, nor will he ever abandon you. As a matter of fact, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, he is coming back. And he is going to take you. And know what he's going to do? In Revelation, it says this. He's going to wipe away every tear in their eyes. He's going to do that. I need to get that in my thinking. I need to get that under my hat. I need to get that and read that from under the flap. I've got to have unfolded thinking. The scoffers are saying that's never going to happen. But Jesus is saying that's going to happen. Just let me throw a few other ones out there from the prophets. Isaiah says this, but now, and God is speaking, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you. He who created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. See, that needs to get unfolded. That needs to get unfolded in our thinking so they can stimulate us to thinking like God wants us to think. He said, I created you. He says, but now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, who has formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. It's under the flap. I don't know what this world is trying to convince you of, but God just said you're his. And Peter says, I want to get that in your thinking, because that's going to stimulate you to action. Action is going to move you toward God, toward life, toward a redemptive spirit in us. God says, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. I know you. I know your name. I formed you. It's under the flap. I promise, these are under the flap. We can argue the value of these crazy little origami games. But what's under the flap is from God. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what you are. I'm a nobody. You ain't a nobody. You're a child of God. And that is what you are. Listen, I can root for Penn State too. But we are the children of God. I'm good with blue and white. But I'm good with the red blood of Jesus, who makes me the child of God. That's under the flap, he said. Let that get in. He said, I don't know if this is new information for you or not. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to remind you of these things. Because I have a feeling that you forget, and so do I. He said, you need to remember that you are a child of God. You. It's under the flap. Okay. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they have life and have it to the fullest. Not only are you a son of God, not only did I redeem you, not only did I form you and redeem you, not only did I call you by name, not only did I make you my child, now I have come that you may have life. How good of a deal do we get? Talk about the benefit package. It's under the flap. These have 1, 3, 7, and 10 because there's one God, there's the Trinity. There's 7 days in the creation and one with the rest. and there's 10 commandments. So you start out with 1, 3, 7, or 10, and then on the inner flaps it just reminds you who God is or what he's done. But the deeper thinking is under the flap. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. I didn't come just to make you my child and say, okay, see you someday. I said I'll see you someday. But between now and then, you need to read under the flap. I got to get going. He said, we're back and forth. See, I want to go back and forth to the law of the prophets, to the words of Jesus, to the prophets, to the words of Jesus. That's what Peter was doing. He said, I want to remind you of what the prophets said. I want to remind you what Jesus said. I want to remind you what prophets said. I want to remind you what Jesus said. That tells me what the prophets said are good for today. And they want us to know that. God wants us to know that. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Sometimes it's hard to believe, isn't it? When you go through the biggest trials of life. That God's with you. See, the enemy wants us to believe that God's not with us. He's forsaken us. He's not going to be a part of our life. And so you might as well just give up. Throw in the towel. But God says, now wait a minute. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, when it gets really bad, that's the way I read that, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That's under the flap. So I'm going to do that in your life. The truth. This is good stuff. And Peter knew it was good stuff for the church he was writing to. And he says, therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's under the flap, too. See, that to me is like the 10 jumping jack. God says, look what I've done in your life, but now I want you to do something. In view of everything I've done in your life, will you just walk with me? Will you offer yourself as a living sacrifice? Look what he wants to do. As a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, because they don't care about you and they don't know anything about what God has in store for you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love that. You're thinking. Gotta get under the flap thinking. Don't be satisfied just for the numbers and the colors. Get under the flap. See what it does. See what it reveals to you. See what God wants to unpack in your life. See what he wants to do. Don't give up. Are you hearing me, man? Don't give up. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for you. And the world says, give up. The world says, give up. And God says, no, wait a minute. Don't give up. Offer yourself to me. Let me finish with this one more. Let me finish with these two more. I just got to read this one. I couldn't leave it out. Just so you, to be honest, I had 1,486 words last week, right? I admitted that. I have 946 this week. So I averaged the two out. You got like a 45 minute last week. I'm edging toward 35 this week, 38. I'm giving you a 7 minute break. You don't think I think about those things, do you? I think about those things. But I couldn't leave this one out. I will lead the blind on the ways they have not known. Wow. I'm telling us that we are blind to paths that God wants us to walk on. Whether I'm physically blind or just I can't see the path that God wants me to walk on. And God says, I will lead the blind on the ways they have not known. Along familiar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make rough places smooth. These are the things that I will do. I will not forsake them. That's under the flap thinking. Just let me throw one more out there because it's under the flap on those I just handed out. Now to each of you, each of you, one, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Spirit has given you something that's for the good of us all. We call them spiritual gifts. That's under the flap. God said, I gave you that. I don't know if anyone else in the room has it or not, but God gave it to you. God says, will you let me unpack that in your life? Will you let that get into your thinking that I gave you something for everyone? And then he goes on and he just lists some things. To one, these, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Some of you have that. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. He's given to some. Listen, New Life, for some of you have these. He doesn't say, well, sorry, they run out in 2018. But it's definitely under the flap thinking. And he goes on to say this, to others, miraculous powers. Just to be honest, some of you have that. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits or discernment. That would be spiritual discernment. To others, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to others, interpretation of tongues. I know, we can get all cranked up over just that one.
Well, I don't know what that is, so I'm going to throw the whole verses out.
Well, don't be a nut. Because that's under the flap thinking. God says, I got it for you. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So this is what Peter says again. Dear friends, this is the second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking or unfolded, pure, without hypocrisy thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, Isaiah. In the homework, you'll be reading from Nahum. How many of us have read Nahum this past week? You're going to this week. And the commands given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. So that you can be stimulated by unfolded thinking. Stand with me.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that God just wants to give you something?
He wants to unfold his thinking before us. Let me just pray with my eyes open. God, I want to receive everything you have for us. Open the eyes of our hearts that we can see you. God, unfold our thinking so that our thinking can be pure and without hypocrisy. God, let us go back to the prophets. Let us go back to the voice of Jesus. And let them melt into our hearts and let them alter us. And let them stimulate our thinking toward God and what he wants to do in our life. And in Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome day. You're in this place. Jesus.